Everybody say showers of blessing. It's coming upon me. It will come upon my family. Why don't you rise up? Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. We need mercy drops round us are falling. Both for the showers we everybody sing aloud. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. We need mercy drops round us are falling. Both for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing. We need mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Precious reviving again over the hills and the valleys. Sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. We need mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that cheered day might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. We need
mercy drops on us are falling. But for the showers we plead,
there shall be showers of blessing. If we but trust and obey, there shall be seasons refreshing. If we let God have his way, showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. Father showers weeping. Amen. The showers will get to you in Jesus' name. You can be seated now. In Mark chapter 6, I'm reading from verses 30 and 31. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ calling his own people apart. And the Lord has not changed what he did for his people before. He still did for his people and to his people today. The Lord knows how busy we are. He knew how busy they were. They have been busy in the work of the Lord. They were doing a very good thing. But they became so busy that they didn't have time to minister to their own needs as well. Their physical needs, their natural needs, and their spiritual needs. So he said, after they had told him all that he did and all that he taught, he said, come ye yourselves apart. And that's what the Lord himself had always done, even for himself. We're told that after a busy day, the Lord himself will set himself apart. And he will go and fellowship with the Heavenly Father. He will receive more anointing, unction, inspiration, wisdom, vision, passion, fire. He'll receive again from the Lord. And then he wanted his own disciples to do the same. Because they had not had enough time for themselves. The same thing we say about ourselves. In fact, the same thing the Lord himself is saying about you and about me. That there are times we need to come together. And this is what is called retreat. If you understand the use of that language, advance, that means you're moving on, you're moving forward. And then you're waging war against the enemy. You are advancing. You are active and you are full of action. You are sweating, you are working, you are laboring. And now, after some time, you retreat. You come back. You withdraw yourself. Why? Because you need to revitalize yourself, recuperate. You need to increase your energy, recover your energy. And you need to come back to the Lord so that you'll be able to refresh yourself, renew your strength, and you'll be able to receive from heaven. That's why we have retreat. And this December retreat will be a moment of unforgettable encounter in Jesus' name. This year's December retreat, which is fast approaching now. And likewise, the danger of our approaching it in a very casual, routine manner. You see, there are some people, they cheat themselves and they lose a lot. They do not know that this is a very special moment for you and for me and for everyone, for your family, for your children, for your wife, for your husband, for your neighbors, and for the people around you. And they come casually. Yes, they still come. But they come in a very casual way, in a very casual manner. And they do not have at the back of their mind, here is a special time. Here is a wonderful time, and I need to go to the Lord at this special time with a special attitude and a special expectation, and special miracle will be mine. The Lord has abundance of blessings enough to meet the needs of all his children. But listen to this, you even need to write this now. Expectation determines realization. Expectation determines realization. You see what you're expecting. All that you want the Lord to do for you. Yes, there's going to be a wonderful covenant month in January. But even then, at the end of the year, this December, we're coming together. And all that we're envisioning, all we're desiring, all that we're expecting, we're putting everything down. And we're saying, as the year closes, as this December comes, and then I go to this place in the presence of the Lord Almighty himself. And then I move on into the new year. I'm having great expectation because I know this, that my expectation determines my realization. You've heard of the law of sowing and reaping. It applies here too. If we sow real faith, if we sow great expectations, if we sow serious publicity, if we sow earnest prayers, and if we sow full participation into this coming retreat, we're sure to reap, and you will reap in Jesus' name. Reaping abundant, bountiful blessings from the Lord, and reaping divine revelations. Revelations the Lord will show you about yourself, about your future, about your family, about your aspirations, about your ambition, about everything you need, everything you want. And then the Lord will also give you and your worry great miracles. All impossibilities will become possible. In fact, the Lord is taking you to this Mount of Transfiguration. And in your location where you are, for those of us who are outside Lagos. And in Lagos here, we're using our Deeper Life Campus Conference Center, you know, whatever you want to call it now. I almost call it campus. What is it, campus? What is it? It's a center. What is it? It's a Mount of Transfiguration. If you've not been there, visit that place and see the change that has taken place in that place. You almost will not believe your eyes. If you've been there some, you know, few months ago and say, what kind of place is this? Where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to lie down? Where am I going to sit down? You get there. This December, the Lord will surprise you. In fact, as you are stepping in like this, blessings, you just be looking up, it's like rain is falling on me. And it's a rain of blessing. And it's a rain of miracle. And it's a rain, all that rain that will fall upon you, the rain will wash away every calamity from your life in Jesus' name. It will follow you. It will follow your children. It will fall on your family. That place, I'm telling you, is a place dedicated for blessing. Your blessing is there. You must receive your blessing in Jesus' name. That's why the Lord told his own disciples, he said, come ye apart, because they had not had any time to minister to themselves, their own physical needs, their own spiritual needs, their own social needs. They have been ministering to other people. It was time now for other people to serve them, and for the Lord himself to serve them and minister unto them. That's why the Lord is inviting you at this time, and you will be there. In Revelation chapter 22, I'm reading from verse 17. Here it tells us, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Everyone has to see the poster. Everyone has to see the banners. Everyone has to see the handbill. The Spirit of the Lord himself is saying, I have a special work to do within you. I have a special work to do in you. I have a special work to do for you. I have a special thing to do through you. And I'll meet you in that place, in a place of blessing, where the Lord is going to bless you. And the Lord is going to shower his blessing upon you. That's why the Spirit of the Lord is pleading with you and is saying, come. And the Bride of the Lamb, the people of God, the children of God, the members of the living God, of the church of the living God, they are also beckoning to you and they are saying, have you heard? Something great is taking place. Have you heard? Something wonderful is taking place. Have you heard? A special thing that we never knew, we never saw it like this before, is coming your way. That's why the whole membership of the church of the living God, anywhere you are, that's why they are calling and they are saying, come. And let him that heareth say, come. As you hear, pass it on. As you hear about it, pass it on. Everyone that hears, you hear it in your house fellowship. You hear it in the youth group. You hear it in your school. You hear it on your campus. Or you hear it on your street. Everyone that heareth, let him say, come. Get your neighbors to come. Get the people to come. I can tell you this. For everyone that you invite, everyone that you bring, the blessing the Lord is giving them, because you are the one that brought them, he will share part of that blessing with you. you will receive your own blessing normally, 100%. Nothing will be taken away from your blessing. Then for every other person, you say, I'm assisting the Spirit of God. I'm agreeing with the Spirit of God. I am cooperating with the Spirit of God. And I'm telling other people, I'm telling my neighbors, I'm telling my classmates, I'm telling people around me, come. Every blessing they receive, the Lord will also add to your own blessing, a part of the blessing they receive in Jesus' name. Let him that is a thirst come. Aren't you thirsty for something? Aren't you desirous of something? Aren't you expecting something? Aren't you passionate for something? Aren't you saying, are you not saying, there's something I've been asking for? I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I'm desirous, I'm passionate about it, I'm looking for something. Then come, because it says, let everyone that is a thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Everything you get there will be free in Jesus' name. What you cannot buy with money. If you are barren, you have children. If you have not married yet, well, in fact, how can I tell you? How can I reveal this to you? Every morning, early in the morning, I'm going to start you with Faith Clinic. And in that Faith Clinic, every weakness you bring there, every need you bring there, everything will be totally taken care of in Jesus' name. Then your home. I'm giving some time to your home as well. In fact, it's going to be wonderful at this time. As the Lord has been revealing himself as to what is coming in this December retreat, it's like even in my own mind, as I'm looking ahead, it's like God is shortening the days. I want to be in a hurry. I want to get to that December retreat because it's going to be a wonderful time. And what if I know you'll be there at the end of the retreat? You said, they said so. The pastor said so. See my blessing, because your cup will be overflowing. Your cup will be overflowing, because it's going to be a moment of unforgettable encounter with the Lord. You will come. I will come. You'll be blessed. I will be blessed. Everyone will be blessed in Jesus' name. There are 3 points I'm looking at in this message. Number one, glorious experiences of past retreats. Glorious experiences of past retreats. Number two, great expectations in the present retreat. Great expectation in the present retreat. And then number three, gathering for an exceptionally profitable retreat. Gathering for an exceptionally profitable retreat. Number one is a glorious experience of past retreats. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, recognized the importance of special moments of withdrawal from public activities to have concentrated, undisturbed fellowship with God the Father. He knew that was a source of spiritual strength and extraordinary revelations. Therefore, he constantly withdrew his own disciples away from the activities of the busy life to do what? Number one, to instruct them. Number two, to inspire them. Number three, to impart grace and power unto them. That's why he called them. In fact, he has spoken about the glories of the coming kingdom. And then in Matthew chapter 17, 6 days after, he spoke about that glorious appearance of his coming kingdom. Then 6 days after, he took them so that they will be able to see the foretaste of the measure of the goodness of God in that coming kingdom. As you look at Matthew chapter 17, why don't you back up to Matthew chapter 16, the last verse there, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Maybe you didn't understand. Maybe they couldn't fathom. Maybe they couldn't explain. Maybe they couldn't measure what they were going to see. But 6 days after promising them that they were going to see the preview of his coming kingdom, then the Lord Jesus Christ took 3 of them to the Mount of Transfiguration. You need to remember that they had been praying every day. As he taught them to pray, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Yes, there is an eschatological fulfillment of that prayer, that is the coming kingdom of the latter time. But then there is also a present fulfillment of that prayer, thy kingdom come, the power of the kingdom, the glory of the kingdom, and the majesty of the kingdom, the beauty of the kingdom, and the spiritual impact of the kingdom. Let it come. Now at this time, they were to have a foretaste of the resplendent glory and excellent majesty of that kingdom. It was an uncommon retreat for them. And I think when the other people heard this or are not there, they must have been wishing, if we had been there too. Look at it in verse 1 now of Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. The word apart, underline it in your Bible. Apart. And there are some things the Lord will do for us only when we come apart. When we come apart, he invites us. He says, there's something I want to do for you. But as you are in your normal business, in your market, in your office, in the multitude, in the society, I cannot do everything I want to do. I cannot say everything I want to say. I cannot bestow upon you everything I want to bestow upon you. Therefore, come apart. Follow me. And then they followed the Lord. And they went to this high mountain apart. I was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. The question is, did they ever expect this? Will Peter have ever expected he will see Moses? He'll see Elijah, because you remember that Moses had gone ever long years before Peter was born, before James was born, and before John was born. They had read about Moses, but they had never seen him. You will see what you have read about, which you have never seen. You will hear what you have heard about, which you have never experienced, because a new experience is coming your way in Jesus' name. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I didn't do it to be like this. It is good for us to be here. And when you share that experience with us during this coming December retreat, you yourself will say, you give your testimony, you say, it is good for us to be here. Not only me, Peter, not only John, not only James, everyone. It is good for us to be here. In fact, to end that retreat, and we have to just say, now we are closing, you must go back, because it is going to be a lot that the Lord will pour upon your life, that you will even want to say, if thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Well, that's the wonderful experience that the people got. And you know, Peter never forgot that, because many years after that, when he was writing the second epistle of Peter, he said, we were there with him on the mountaintop. Let me tell you, he had seen many blind eyes open. He had even walked on the water. He had seen multitudes fed. He had seen many, many miracles. But this one was an unforgettable encounter for him. He never forgot that when he was writing many, many years after, he still mentioned it. What is going to happen to you during this coming retreat? Many, many years of Jesus studies, you'll see the remembering. You remember that I've been attending retreat, but this special one that I attended, I will never forget. I was blessed before. I was going to the other retreats, and the Lord did wonderful, marvelous things in my life, but this particular one, I never thought it would be like this. It would be wonderful. In fact, if you remember when Moses, you've just read about Moses, when Moses appeared before the Lord, it was a retreat just for himself, because the children of Israel, they were not in the position, in the place where they will be with Moses at the mount of the Lord. In the case of Moses, when he went before the Lord, see what happened to him. In Exodus chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, reading there from verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from the mount from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he knew not, that the skin of his face shone while he touched with him. That is, he was in the presence of God, just having fellowship with God. And there was no disturbance at all. There was no duty, there was no responsibility, there was no activity. Just staying in the presence of the Lord. And then he did not know that the presence of the Lord was doing something for him. And if his face changed like this, what change do you think took place in his heart? In his emotion, in his attitude, in his will, in his family. If the face, what they saw, what they couldn't see into his heart, they couldn't see into his soul, they couldn't see into his mind, they couldn't see into the inner man of Moses, but they saw the face of what they could see. They saw a great change. And even Moses did not know the extent of the change that had taken place in him. As you come to this retreat, you will not know the extent of the change of what will happen to you. It is when you get back home and the people are telling you, look at what you see. You're not like this, you're not like that, you're not like you used to be anymore, because it will not just be a change on your face, it will be a change in your body. It will be a change in your heart. It will be a change in your family. It will be a change in your business. It will be a change in everything surrounding you, everything within you, in Jesus' name. And then we're told in verse 30, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. If the people that were even close to him, think about Aaron, and think about all these other children of Israel, if they were afraid to come near him because of the glory of God and the power of the Lord in his life, what do you think about enemies coming near? No, not at this time now. After this retreat, enemies will not be able to come near you. Those who want to be evil will not be able to come near you. There will be a fire. There will be a wall of fire around you. Because during this retreat, the Lord is going to come mightily upon your life. That even the people that were, coming near before and they felt they could touch you, they could hurt you, they could do anything, they will not be able to come near to do anything evil against your life in Jesus' name. And then we're told in verse 33, till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And then we're told when Moses went in before the Lord to speak to him, he took the veil off until he came out. And then we're told that he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which was commanded in verse 35. And the children of Israel, they saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Well, and that's the change that took place in him. And the Lord is calling us together so that as he calls us together, he will pour his glory upon every one of our lives once again in Jesus' name. I want to remind you that at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, retreats like this wasn't anything surprising. In fact, it happened so many times and so often. A few of those instances are recorded for us. As you look at Mark chapter 8, you will see what happened to the people of Jesus' days, of Jesus' time. I want you to remember this, that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were sick, all that were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus was teaching every time. Everywhere he went, he was teaching. And he will go into the synagogue, he will go into the side of the road, and then he will teach them. But apart from the day-to-day teaching, apart from the teaching in the synagogue, the teaching in the temple, there were special times when the people of God and the people that said, I've been receiving it, I've been getting it, I've been hearing it, I've been partaking of it, but we need a concentrated time all together from morning till evening, from day to day, for a number of days. We need to be with this Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in it to you that he needed a concentrated period of time when he will stay with them. And as he stayed two of them, they were just taking the blessings of heaven and the dew of heaven and the rain of heaven and the showers from on high. There were times like that. That's why we keep to that as well. When the Lord himself, at the end of the year, like this December, when he will cleanse everything that shouldn't go with us to the new year, and then he'll bring upon us refreshing, a new blessing that will go with us into the new year. In Mark chapter 8, reading from verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and says unto them, have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me, how many days? Tell me out loud. 3 days and have nothing to eat. The Lord said that here we have this great multitude. If you look at it in verse 1, in those days, the multitude being very great. The multitude is going to be very great during this December retreat. In every location where we're having the retreat, it's going to be very, very great. And everyone is going to be satisfied. Everyone is going to be satisfied. Because Jesus will be there. Almighty God will be there. The Spirit of God will be there. And miracles and the power of God will be flowing like you never saw it before. And Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude. If the sick people are there, the Lord is going to have compassion on them. If people having yokes and bondages are there, the Lord is going to have compassion on them. And if the people that don't have any jobs, if they are there, the Lord is going to have compassion on them. I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I need to tell you something. There are people during the time of the retreat. But you know some people, instead of spending 3 full days and knowing that I was there, 3 full days for the Lord. Some of them, they'll come maybe in the night and then rush away in the morning. And then maybe the following day, they come back in the evening again. They'll spend 3 full days. I challenge you. And I want you to put the Lord to a test. And prove me now, says the Lord, at this time, you've been coming and going. And you have not been there. You have not been giving your full attention and the full time. Everything that it takes to the 3 days, 3 full days of retreat. Do it this time and see what the Lord will do for you. The Lord will surprise you. The Lord will surprise your children. The Lord will surprise your parents as you are there. Because while you are there, let me tell you the secret. You come to the retreat. And then you stay indoors. You stay just in the presence of the Lord. Full days without going back home. And then the Lord is raining it upon you. And raining upon you. And raining upon you. Every prayer, you are there. Every song, you are there. Every benediction, you are there. Every testimony, you are there. Every period, you are there. Every message, you are there. How can you miss the blessing of God? No way. You will not miss the blessing of God. And so it says here in verse 3, and if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. Divers of them came from far. No matter how far you come, from the various areas you are living, to come to that central place, to come to that retreat location, the Lord will know. He will know how far you have come. He will know the journey you have taken. He will know the sacrifice that you have made. And is going to reward every little and every big sacrifice you made to come to that retreat location. And then he said, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? How are we going to satisfy these people? You know, these people did not even worry that there wasn't any place they were going to go to buy anything. In fact, they were not even interested in going out to buy anything from anywhere. They were just looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. They were just having the Lord Almighty in their presence all the time. An abundance of joy and the fullness of joy was coming into their lives. And because of the joy, because of the miracle, because because of the inspiration, because of the impact, because of the power coming upon their lives, they didn't even think of going out to buy anything. And then it says, and he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks and break and gave unto his disciples to set before them. And he did set before them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. Look at this. He blessed the food himself. These people, this was the first time many of these people were eating any food like this before. You say, wasn't it just bread? Wasn't it just fish? Not just bread. Bread that Jesus Almighty took in his own hand. Fish that Jesus took in his own hand. And he blessed that food directly and said, give unto them. That is special food. I said that is special food. You know, I've known people that came to the retreat in the past, and then maybe they had ulcer, or maybe they had a particular disease, and they said, you must not eat this kind of thing. You must not eat this kind of thing. And then, they come to the retreat and they eat. And the ulcer they had before, just by eating that food, everything went away. I said everything went away. Many people, if you read your Bible the way I read my Bible, if God reveals to you the way God reveals to me, many things will change in your life. Because, when we come to the retreat, you'll find that we sell pure water, for example. Just an example. And then if you go outside, there's also pure water that you can buy. And there are some people, they will not wait for the one that will pay on, the one that is blessed, the one that, because he will bless your bread, and he will bless your water. And when he blesses that water, you drink it, is different from the one you are going to buy by the side of the road. The one that you are going to buy by the side of the road that nobody is praying over, well, good luck. But this one that, as we go to this retreat, will pray on the bread. We'll pray on the water. Anything you buy in the satellite, anything you buy in the supermarket, anything you buy within that community where we are, anything you put in your mouth like this, it will be blessed in Jesus' name. Then he says in verse 8, he says, so they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. That means our cup will run over. Our blessings will so multiply. It will be very great and very mighty as we come to the presence of the Lord at that time in Jesus' name. The retreat, in retreats and Bible days, took various forms and at various venues and lasted for various lengths of time. The personalities involved at that time, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and his people that were seeking the blessing of God. And things have not changed. Things have not changed. The people that are still involved, the personalities that are still involved in the retreat and in this coming retreat, Almighty God will be there. And Jesus will be there. I thought you'll give me a good amen. Amen. And the Holy Ghost in the fullness of his power will be there as well. And then, God's people, those who are seeking the blessing of the Lord, you and I, we shall be there as well in Jesus' name. What's the purpose? As the people gather together in those days, and as we gather together this December, what's the purpose? Number one, the purpose is to receive direction and instruction, and then to have renewal from God. As we go into that retreat, I am going to be renewed by the Lord himself. You are going to be renewed by the Lord himself. Number two, it's also to reclaim lost virtues. To reclaim lost virtues. You need to understand, as we move around in our communities, and we mix with this and mix with that, there are some virtues in our lives that were there before, that we have lost. And this time of the retreat is to reclaim the lost virtues, and then to reach out to God for new blessings. To reach out to God. If you are like Jabez telling the Lord, oh Lord, why am I like this? How is this happening to me? And then you come to the Lord, and during this coming retreat, you reach out to the Lord, like Jabez reached out to the Lord, like Joshua reached out to the Lord, like the people of old reached out to the Lord. And then it is to review our lives in the presence of the Lord, and to return from possible backsliding, we're not just talking about, you know, backsliding and going back totally and fully and completely into sin. But if you are not retaining the level you were before, if you are not retaining the spirituality you had before, then you come back to the Lord and you return from possible backsliding. Not only that, it's to rebuild the broken walls of our lives and the broken altars in our lives. Anything that is broken down, broken relationship will be rebuilt, and broken altars will be rebuilt, and broken devotional life will be rebuilt. Also, it is to renew abandoned consecrations. You know what you were before the Lord in the past, and we know what we were in the past in the sight of the Lord. Now, the consecrations we had before, the commitment we had before, the yieldedness we had before, we want to go to this retreat, and we're expecting great mighty hand of the Lord to touch us. We want to renew abandoned consecrations, not to let that to revive lost visions. The things you are passionate about before, the things of the Lord, the vision you had before, and the Lord showed you the vision when you were on the mountaintop many, many years ago, maybe some other retreats ago, and then you have lost that vision. This is a time to revive the lost visions and to receive new purpose for living. To receive new purpose for living, it's also to re-examine waning convictions, the convictions we have had in the word of the Lord, the convictions we have had as we have been walking side by side, hand in hand, and we have been walking by faith with the Lord and walking in the Spirit, and then we have lost some of those convictions and they're waning, they're decreasing, they're going down. The time of this retreat is to revive the lost visions and to receive new purpose for living and re-examine waning conviction and to reaffirm our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. To come before the Lord and to remind him and to tell him, yes, I'm still for you. My heart, my soul, my mind, my body, my past, my present, my future. Everything, anything concerning me, I'm still loyal to you, to my very heart. We're going to reaffirm that during this coming retreat, and is to receive fresh fire, fresh anointing, and fresh unction, and fresh passion, and fresh unction from the Lord, and to rekindle old evangelistic missionary zeal and fervor. It's easy to look back now and observe how these purposes were fulfilled in the past, and many more besides. And yet, as we come during this coming retreat, we want to remind ourselves that God has not changed. And what he did before, he still wants to do again. In fact, he will do it again in multiplied force in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Glorious experiences of past retreats. I come to point number two. Great expectations in the present retreat. Great expectations in the present retreat. I want you to come back to this, Matthew chapter 17, which we read just a moment ago. Matthew chapter 17. And see, as Peter, James, and John, they found themselves in the very presence of the Lord during this Mount of Transfiguration experience. And you will see that as the unexpected came upon them, as the unknown came upon them, as the unseen, what they had never seen, what they had never heard, as it came upon them, Peter, he began to voice it out. I'm sure he was speaking the mind of James and John, and he was speaking the mind of everyone that will ever be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and see what was never seen and hear what was never heard in Matthew chapter 17, reading from verse 4. And then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. I know that before you even go to that retreat, you are saying, it is good for me to be there. I said you're saying it is good for me to be there. But it is when you actually get there, when you get there and the showers begin to fall upon you and the blessings begin to come upon you and unresolved problems are solved and the knots in your life are loosened and the mountains in your life, they are taken away. When you get there, you say, I said it before I even came, I said it is good for me to be there. Now that I see what I'm getting, now that I see what I'm experiencing, it is good really indeed for me to be here. As the disciples beheld the glory of the Lord and the majesty of the Lord, everything else faded into insignificance in their sight. Nothing mattered anymore. Neither the events in the valley, nor even the inconveniences on the mountaintop. They were content just to remain there. That's why Peter said, Lord, you know what's in my mind now, you know what I feel now, you know what I want to say now. It is good for us to be here with you in our company. There is no better place on earth to be, for this is heaven itself. God is going to give you a taste of heaven on earth. The peace of God, the joy of God, the beauty, the glory, and the splendor of heaven itself. As you come to that place, that's why they said it's good for us to be here, because where Jesus is, it is heaven there. They said, and Peter said, speaking for them and speaking for himself, it is good for us. Did you hear? This is good for me. It's good for me. I can, as I look at the face of John, as I look at the face of James, I can speak for myself and speak for them. It is good for us to be here. Your glory filling this place is worth more than all the pleasures as the saints can afford. And when you get to that retreat, even from the first night, and you see what is happening to you already, the change that is taking place, and the kind of fellowship you have with the Lord, and the kind of influence you're having from the Lord, and the kind of the showers of blessing falling upon your life, you will see, I never saw it like this before. This is something I couldn't have got if I didn't come. It is good for me, it's good for my family, it's good for my friends that we're all here. We have found the pearl of the greatest price. It's good for us to be here. We have been here for less than a day. That's what Peter must have been saying. It's not even a day yet. And we're here. And see what we have seen. And see what we have known. And see what we have observed. And see what we have preserved. And see what we have seen. And see what we are receiving. What shall it be? If we were to be here for more days, that's why Peter said, let's remain here. One day, the glorious sin and the goodness of God has been upon us. What if we spend another day, and another day, and even another week, and even another month? He forgot everything behind, although Peter and his companions did not plan that meeting. Yet now, they had the great expectations at the prospect of remaining on the mount with the Lord. And that's why the Lord is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The things that the Lord has prepared for those who love him. And those who love him, they'll be there with the Lord and with the people of God. And the things he has prepared, what you have never seen, what you have never heard, the Lord is going to give unto you in Jesus' name. That's why you are going to be there, and you behold the glory of the Lord. You behold the majesty in the face of the Lord, and you'll be transformed and changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, reading from verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, and the splendor of the Lord, were changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And when you come there, great things will happen to you. If they carry you there, you're welcome by yourself. If they held your hand coming there because you cannot see, you'll walk straight by yourself without anybody holding you in Jesus' name. If you come there sorrowful, you'll go back joyful. If you come there poor, you'll go back rich. If you come there not having anything, you'll go back having everything. If you come there prayers not answered, you'll go back prayers all answered. If you come there hopeless, you'll go back having hope. If you come there not having faith, you'll go back full of faith and full of the glory of the Lord in Jesus' name. In Mark chapter 2, reading from verse 1. In Mark chapter 2, reading from verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bench wherein the sick of the palsy laid. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, he said to this man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then he tells us in verse 9, whether is it easier? To say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, and he took up his bed, and he went forth before them all. He went forth before them all. That's why I told you, you will not go back in the condition in which you came. Your conditions will change. God will do a new thing. But you know, you have to make up your mind, because if you don't make up your mind, just being there, that's one step. The second step is, I'm not going to go back the way I came. They carried me here, I'm going to walk by myself. I came here hopeless, I'm going to go back full of hope. I came here sorrowful, I'm going to go back full of joy. Look at this in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and sought him. Many people. But look at this woman. This woman decided, well, I'm going to be part of this long, but I'm going to have a personal faith, a personal thing I'm going to receive. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the post behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Well, you are going to see Jesus. You are going to touch Jesus. Between now and that time, every day, make it your duty to say, I will see him. I will know him. I will touch him. I will receive from him. The way I go is not the way I will come back. You see this woman saying, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up. Let me remind you, 12 years problem. 12 long years she had been suffering from this infirmity, and she has spent everything that she had, and she was nothing better. Listen to me. What if you come to the retreat, and what you have been battling with for 12 years, for 20 years, for 25 years, for you to spend 3 full days in the presence of the Lord, It's worth it all. That the problems of 12 years, or the problem of 8 years, or even the problem of 1 year, that within 3 days, the Lord will take it away like that, instantaneously. It is worth it. It is worth it. We shall be there. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And then we're told in verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to remind you once again, when she was coming to Jesus, she was dragging with her 12 years problem. By the time she taught Jesus and she was going back, 12 years, problem of 12 years had totally vanished away. And it shall be so. You will not be disappointed. The Lord is going to do a new thing. This coming retreat will mark a landmark in your life in Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 43, I'm reading to you there. Open your Bible. Isaiah chapter 43, reading from verse 16, thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, and the army, and the power, and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. Every power that has come against you, as you come to that retreat, those powers will lie down, they will never rise again. They are extinguished, they are quenched as though all the powers of darkness, all the powers of evil that ever came upon you, they will completely be destroyed, and every yoke will be destroyed and burnt away from your life in Jesus' name. Now at the end of that retreat, you remember not the former things anymore, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it? I say, shall ye not know it? You will know it. God will put a testimony in your mouth. And every bad luck, every evil thing, God will drive away from you in Jesus' name. Point number 3. Gathering for an exceptionally profitable retreat. This coming retreat will be profitable for me. I said this coming retreat will be profitable for me. How about you? It will be profitable for every one of us in Jesus' name. Now look at what the Lord has promised while you are preparing yourself, as you are preparing to come. In Ezekiel chapter 36, I'm reading to you from verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 11. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring forth. If what I'm reading is for you, you give me an amen. I will settle you after your old estate. I will settle you after your old estate. Mark the next line, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. The Lord is saying, every other retreat you have attended before, this one is going to do better for you. Better things for you than the one at your beginning. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I will know that He is the Lord. In Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. See what the Lord is telling you. In Haggai chapter 2, reading from verse 19. Haggai chapter 2, verse 19. It's telling you what blessing is going to give you. How much blessing is going to shower upon you. It says in verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth. This is talking about what happens before the retreat, before you obey the Lord, before you come to the Lord, before you give your time and you give yourself unto the Lord. Look at what you have. Maybe there is scarcity, maybe there is famine, maybe there is need, maybe there is failure, maybe there is defeat. But then the Lord says, from this day I will bless you. From this day, I will bless you. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy. I'm reading to you from chapter 28. I'm reading there from verse 2. 28 verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 2. All these blessings shall come upon thee. and overtake thee. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command, shall command, shall command, shall command a blessing upon thee in all thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee, and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and he shall be afraid of you. Your enemies shall be afraid of you. Witches shall be afraid of you. Demons shall be afraid of you. All evil people shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the fruit of the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I said, thou shalt lend unto many, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head. Where are you? I said, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt be above only. After this retreat, thou shalt be above only. The sickness that brought you down before, you will rise above it. Enemies that brought you down before, you will rise above them. Calamities that brought you down before, you will rise above them. And the sins that brought you down before, you will rise above them. Iniquities that rose against you before, you will rise above them. You'll be victorious. You'll be more than a conqueror. The song of victory will be your mouth in Jesus' name. You will be the head, you will not be the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, and observe to do them. Now Ezekiel chapter 36, I will read this only when you have opened, because you need to mark this in your Bible. This is for you. This is for you. The Lord is telling you something good is coming your way. I said something good is coming your way. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 34, I'm reading from verse 26. And have you opened it? Are you ready to mark it? Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. Your house will be a blessing. Your compound will be a blessing. Your yard will be a blessing. Everywhere you are will be a blessing. And then I will cause showers to come down in a season. This is a season of blessing. The yoke is gone. The problems are gone. And then there shall be, it is coming upon you. It is coming upon you. There shall be showers of blessings. Rise up and get ready. Rise up and get ready and say, Lord, I'll be there. Lord, I'll be there. My own shower will come. My own shower. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling. Every time you've been coming to Monday Bible study, and you've been coming to the Sunday worship, and you've been coming to all the meetings, mercy drops around you have been falling. But showers, for the showers repeat. The showers are coming down. The showers of miracle. The showers of anointing. The showers of unction. And the showers of possibilities. And the showers of great expectations. And the showers of great miracles. And the showers of healing. And the showers of deliverance. And the showers of yokes being broken. And the showers, showers, showers from heaven coming upon you. Make up your mind. You'll be there. Nobody will take your blessing. Nobody will replace you. Your seat is there. Your position is there. Your blessing is there. Your showers are there. You will be there, for the showers will come upon you, because we're told already there shall be showers of blessings.